now walk, is speaking some English, studying to get his first ever driver's license, and has applied for a work permit and social security number so he can get a sedentary job despite his physical limitations. If you're here in person, please come and stand up in the front here so we can see you. If you're online, please briefly turn on your video and wave. So again, those who I named, if you could please come up here. Chuck Stonecipher from First Unitarian Society and Bianca Tomasini from Midvale Lutheran Church, if you could please join the other volunteers. Chuck and Bianca especially have become very close friends and mentors for Josue, who came here all alone from Nicaragua at the age of 25. We would like very much to thank you all for doing this incredible work so that Josue did not have to spend a Wisconsin winter. He grew up in a tropical jungle part of Nicaragua so that he would not have to be on his manual wheelchair out on the street in the cold all winter. These folks have been working since last October when we first found Josue in a homeless shelter where nobody spoke Spanish. And they have all been humanitarian workers, our heroes and sheroes. And I hope you will join me in showing our deep appreciation for their humanitarian work. There are others I will be listing as well. Yes?
I'm one of the others.
You're one of the others. Well, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to give you each a little symbol or token of our appreciation, some candles so that you can continue to hold our immigrant neighbors in the light. So each choose a candle here because they are different scents, but if you can just help yourself, and it's a very small token gift, but just a symbol of holding people in the light and lifting them up from the darkness. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Peggy, you should have. You were up there. Okay, good. There are other volunteers that have been part of Josue's support team for the last 8 or 9 months. Jamie Becca, Marsha Crater, Greg Lawless, who is currently housing Josue for 2 months, Jeffrey Lewis, Tim Mead, Renee and John Reback, who had a handicap accessible home, which was wonderful when Josue was in a wheelchair for several months, and Tracy Surprise from UW Nurses United. All of them are wonderful humanitarian aid workers. Secondly, as Randy will tell you there are many simple ways to work with asylum seekers and other immigrants and refugees without any huge commitment, but that still really make an important difference in their lives and their struggles here. And if you simply contact me, I can add you to our list of volunteers, and you can choose from a list of ways that you might feel comfortable helping out. I would like to first, we're going to have three speakers among the volunteers, and I'd like to first introduce Randy Coloni to come up here, please, and speak about your experiences.
Hi, my name's Randy Coloni, and my pronouns are he, him. I've been a member of the 8th Principal Team. I'm a virtual and in-person greeter. I'm in the choir, and I try to be actively involved in social action activities. Today I'm going to briefly share some of the things I've been involved with regarding asylum seekers. To start, I want to put in a really positive plug for this type of opportunity to do good work at whatever level of time commitment you are able. Lila does a remarkable job of presenting many, many opportunities to be of service, ranging from just giving someone a ride to sharing conversation, providing a meal, or sharing an adventure. I think it's one of the best opportunities to be involved in a social action activity at a really flexible level of involvement. You really can pick between a lot of time and just a little bit. I personally have been involved in driving asylum seekers to Milwaukee for ICE appointments, and also had the opportunity to drive a family to a naturalization service where a woman from the Democratic Republic of the Congo became a naturalized citizen. It was a great experience, and I personally really enjoyed celebrating that event with them. I've also had the pleasure of working with the young Nicaraguan man, Josue, doing things such as taking him to language lessons, having him over for a meal, taking bike rides, and working on language pronunciation. What has struck me with Josue is his incredible eagerness to experience everything. Anytime I say something like, "We'll have to go kayaking," or "We'll have to play guitar together sometime," his immediate response is always, "How about now?" It's been a really fun experience, and again, I encourage you all to consider getting involved, recognizing that you can do however much you have time and inclination to do. I really encourage that. It's a good experience. Josue is wonderful. I've met some folks from Colombia that Lila and Craig have been housing, I think. And you know, you get to talk with people to the extent you can, and you learn a lot, and you do good. So, thank you.
I was going to speak myself originally about how Josue has become like a grandson to Craig and I, and he's over our house a lot, and how much we just fell in love with him. But Ruth Flanagan, a Reaver who taught him one-on-one English before he was able to finally enroll in a class with the Literacy Network for English as a Second Language, wrote such a beautiful piece, and it's longer than the time limit we gave her, but I'm having trouble cutting it back because it's so beautiful. So, and Ruth apologized that she couldn't be here to read this in person, so I'm reading this for Ruth. This is her words. I had the privilege of teaching Post Way Basic English one-on-one for several months, and I've never met anyone with such disarming openness and social vibrancy. In him, a big personality means expansiveness, authenticity, and a gameness to connect, to try new things, to care, even in circumstances of profound danger in Nicaragua and on the long dangerous trip up here with his ICE imprisonment at the border before they allowed him in. Tremendous discomfort, days without showers or food, isolation, and potential alienation. Josue's charming personality and affinity for people is his superpower. He deploys it to shine light into the darkest of corners, and in doing so, a bit of dawn breaks on us all. My first assignment was to take Josue to a meeting at Centro Hispano that outlined the process for seeking asylum. He had been here a few months, including a two-month stint in a homeless shelter where no one spoke Spanish and some people were trying to steal his wheelchair to sell it for drugs. He spoke almost zero English, yet his extraordinary and social acuity, along with my mediocre Spanish, enabled him to communicate not only his experiences, but the mindset that frames them. I was blown away by his positive attitude, his philosophy about life, his gratitude for Lila and all the other friends who were supporting him, and his strong determination to make it in the US where everything was strange and totally confusing. He joked about the many strong matriarchs who were his stand-in mamas. He saw hope indelibly when I couldn't get past seemingly impossible odds for him. Josue made our sessions joyful and encouraging. I worked on showing him that he was indeed making progress. He worked on showing me during mini breaks how he could play the guitar, write poems, draw powerfully and distinctly, paint beautiful pictures, and deliver a joke like nobody's business. Over time, he became a good enough friend to our family that we invited him to our house for an art-making party. At that time, his injury left him unable to walk at all, so we had to find a creative approach to get him up our front steps. No problem. At the party, he was surrounded by people who spoke little to no Spanish. No problem as well. He used physical comedy to make people laugh, even going for a pratfall in which he feigned nearly tripping down the stairs, which caused my husband to brace to catch him mid-air. Josue's response was simply to impishly smile and gesture with a gotcha that translates in all languages. I dearly hope that Josue learned something from me in our English teaching sessions. I suspect, however, that I learned far more from him. I learned about hope, about self-confidence, and most of all, about the power of humor as more than merely a leveling agent, but as a way to transform a collection of strangers into a kind of family, and a house into a home of the heart. And next, we will hear from Chuck Stonecipher of First Unitarian Society, who housed Josue in his home for 2 months, January and February, while Josue was still in a wheelchair, or was he on crutches? While he was on crutches. Chuck, please come on up.
Chuck Stonecipher, longtime member of First Unitarian Society. I got attached to this sanctuary movement through FUS's engagement with the faith community group that formed pre-pandemic. And then, of course, I wasn't doing anything for 2 or 3 years like most of us. Then late last year, I started doing some driving, giving people rides to meet with the immigration attorneys, or one trip to Milwaukee to a nice appointment for someone. And then towards the end of last year, a couple of times driving Josue Lopez to doctor appointments or physical therapy or whatever, which entrapped me in Lila's net. I was just doing, as offered earlier, the low-level helping of giving rides to people, which I could do. I'm a retired person. I have a car, and that's a low-muss, no-fuss kind of opportunity. So then Lila comes along, and because I live in a condo and I had an elevator and underground parking in a garage, it was really a nice transition from the fabulous opportunity he had to be in a wheelchair accessible living arrangement to, on crutches, go to a condo where I have a bedroom and a bathroom that I'm not using and stay with me for a couple of months. So that was a good opportunity. So Josue is charming and creative. I have a wonderful piece of art that he created during the time he stayed with me that I have at my condo, which I appreciate. It's not easy. I'm a couple of generations ahead of Josue. I don't speak the same language, and I come from a different country and a different culture. So there were challenges, but it was a blessing and a privilege to be able to provide help and support to someone in need. And on my own behalf, and to encourage all of you to help offering the welcome and generosity of our country to people that arrive here with neither much, sometimes much hope or support. So it's a privilege, and a privilege that I appreciate being able to offer.
Thank you, Chuck. I remember being surprised to learn that Chuck, I guess, is a big jazz fan and a regular attendee at concerts at Cafe Coda on Willie Street, and is friends with the owner, Hannah John Taylor, who is a local musician, jazz musician. And he was taking Josue to concerts there at Cafe Coda and introduced him to Hannah John Taylor, who then loaned him a saxophone. And Josue went online and found classes online in Spanish on how to play the saxophone, and has been teaching himself the saxophone. Our final speaker, Bianca Tomasini, is an immigrant rights activist at Midvale Lutheran Church, and I've gotten to know her best as we are co-chairs together of the advocacy and communications team of the Dame Sanctuary Coalition. And we've had many late night talks. And Bianca has also been like a mother to Josue through all of this. And of course, she's a native Spanish speaker. So I've often gone to her for help. Bianca, please come on up and speak.
Well, thank you for this opportunity, Lila. My name is Bianca Tomasini. I'm from Mexico originally, and I got to know Lila through the Dane Sanctuary Coalition, as she was mentioning. So I think I just would like to explain a little bit how I got to meet Josue. Can you hear me? Yes, barely. Maybe my voice is not projecting. But it was through a friend of mine at the hospital. He had broken his two legs and was had been at the hospital for 2 months. I got to meet him and talk to him for quite a while and realized he was, despite his situation being alone, broken legs, he came here to try to find a job so that he could help his family back in Nicaragua. And he all of a sudden could not do any of that. And a man of strong faith and a great sense of humor, that really, and just so charming. I was appalled, however, when the hospital, which you know was treating him well, sent him to the homeless shelter. And that's when I brought this, because most immigrants will go into the community, you know, homeless, undocumented. In his case, he's an asylum seeker. But they will go into the community. In his case, he had to go to a homeless shelter in on a wheelchair. So I brought this up to Lila. And the rest is history, so to say, because she took it on. And I have been so impressed. I'm impressed with Josue and his resilience and his ability to navigate a very difficult situation. I am equally impressed with Lila and how she has taught me how to build community. I'm so also congratulating you all and how you have participated. I don't know another community like this one, honestly, and another person like Lila. So these things are just to be celebrated because it has transformed his life. You know, I think, you know, he has told me, maybe because I can, I'm sure Lila has also heard this, he has some low moments, but it's her, it's you all and all your kindnesses and your faith in him. I know it can be difficult sometimes. That has kept him going. I think he really is at the stage he is now, primed to be independent again, hopefully. But it's all because of what Lila has done in communion with all of you. So I really thank you all. Thank you, Lila and Craig, for supporting all. And this is one case. You know, the other short plug I will make is that there may be other people like Josue out there. And so just to keep our hearts and ears open when somebody is falling through the cracks. So it's lovely, it's very inspiring. You're all very inspiring. Lila. Thank you.
In addition to driving people around locally and providing meals or taking them to a food pantry, we have one big ask that's coming up very soon. We have a wonderful couple from asylum seekers from Colombia, Joanna and Danielle, who are about to lose their housing at the end of this coming week. They are both now working, cleaning 5 homes a day, a lot of physical hard labor, but they need more time to find affordable housing. And we did house them when they first arrived. They came here very, very sick with the flu. We had them tested, it wasn't COVID. They were, all of our people that we help have been vaccinated fully against COVID, by the way. But they were very sick with the flu for a couple of weeks. So we housed them and got them back healthy again. But we cannot do that in the coming month. And so if you have a guest room, these people are really wonderful couple in their late 30s, early 40s, and they work very hard, and they're wonderful cooks. They've cooked Colombian dishes for us, delicious food. Please see me after the service. If you're online, email me or call me. If you have a guest room and are thinking, you might think about housing them just until they get their own apartment. They are looking and they are getting help from the Tenant Resource Center on finding more affordable housing. But with two incomes, they're in a better place financially than a lot of folks we help in terms of finding affordable housing. So please do see me after the service for that.